we can begin.
Okay, excellent. Thank you all for joining this morning. I think what we wanted to do, as you all know, we issued our decision in the HMTX case last month. That case was taken as a sample case where the claims in HMTX were common to, if not all, the vast majority of the several thousand cases that are assigned to this panel. Having resolved that case, I think regardless of whether an appeal is taken or not, it's appropriate at this point to ask the question, to the extent that there are additional distinct claims in any of those additional several thousand cases that are stayed before this panel, does it make sense at this point to take up one or more of those claims, either by identifying another single sample case, multiple sample cases, where we can resolve some, you know, other overarching issues? Or is it that in some of those cases with those additional claims, having considered what the court has said in its opinion or opinions in HMTX, if, you know, plaintiffs are inclined to abandon those additional claims in those cases, I mean, that's fine as well. I think it was just made sense to sort of pause and hear from you all in terms of where we are at this point and how we can proceed in an efficient, effective manner. I understand, Mr. Nicely, you're going to speak for the steering committee. Maybe it makes sense for you to go first, and then we can hear from the government. And hopefully you all have had an opportunity to consult on these kinds of issues and have an idea how you want to proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. We have indeed consulted amongst the plaintiffs, at least amongst the steering committee, and at least via email amongst at least notices to the other plaintiffs' counsel. And we have consulted prior to this also with the government. Our position on this topic is fairly straightforward. We think that your order that you issued when you originally issued the stay is fairly straightforward in terms of what can be done still, even after your decision, with respect to those plaintiffs that have distinct claims. You indicate in that order, and I'm referring to your standard procedure order 21-04, where you indicate that any party seeking to lift the stay must consult with the other party and with the steering committee at least 3 days in advance, and the moving party must provide good cause to the court to depart from the case management procedures. Seems, you know, we don't take a position one way or the other, obviously, with regard to any of those individual plaintiffs and what they may or may not want to do with their distinct claims going forward. We frankly think that your order already provides them with the opportunity to seek to move to have their additional claims considered, and we wouldn't stand in the way of that if they asked the court to do so. So I think that's our overarching position, and obviously the stay in and of itself, although it doesn't talk about an appeal, in our view, it's clear enough that it indicates that stay remains in place until the court says otherwise, and presumably would remain in place during the course of an appeal, which we do intend to take.
Okay. Help me understand then, does the steering committee, do the members, not the steering committee as a whole, but the members of the steering committee, I mean, does that include anyone with any of those additional claims, or are those additional claims being made by counsel that are outside of the steering committee group?
So There are there. So there are two categories, Your Honor, of so-called distinct claims, I think, and we had identified this early on in the litigation. The one category that we don't think is relevant, but just so you know, are that some parties, including some parties represented by members of the steering committee, just fashioned their claims slightly differently than HMTX and JASCO had done, but nonetheless they're overlapping, right? They might have brought separate claims, in other words, for list 3 and list 4, but in any event, there are overlapping claims. There are a handful, only a handful in our view, of claims that you truly could think of as being distinct, and not necessarily linked to the claims on which you ruled in your decision. There's one of those, represented by Hogan Lovells, is a topic that they may or may not wish, and other parties who have it may or may not wish to address it. It's a constitutional claim. There's another claim brought by two other parties who are not represented by folks on the steering committee, who one of them is a Charming Betsy argument, and another one has to do with exclusions. All of those seem to be not integrally linked with the claims that we had originally brought, but whether or not those parties seek to proceed with their claims in parallel with our appeal, we don't know. We don't know if they will, we just don't have any idea, and we haven't sought to push them to make that decision.
Okay. All right. Ms. Speck, thoughts from the government side?
Good morning, Your Honor. Elizabeth Speck from the Department of Justice. We agree with plaintiffs regarding that the procedures are in place for parties to petition the court. It would also be the government's preference that the cases continue to be stayed pending any appeal. We think that this will prevent the government, conserve judicial resources and generally conserve resources, because it will just result in additional motions to dismiss. And we're, of course, again, with the procedures, we're fine with parties petitioning the court if they have a reason to lift the stay for their specific case.
I'm sorry, the last bit of what you said got a little garbled, at least in my hearing. Could I ask you to repeat that?
Certainly, Your Honor. As Mr. Nicely was discussing, there are procedures in place for a party to petition the court if they think the stay should be lifted for them as to their case, and we are fine with the case proceeding in that way.
Okay. I mean, I think I hear what you're both saying, and I guess my one question is, you know, thinking not to that, for using Mr. Nicely's characterization of the groupings, that, you know, group one is largely, if not the same, analogous to the claims that we've otherwise resolved in HMTX. And setting those aside, if there's truly only a handful of cases with additional claims that are in some respects distinct from those that we've resolved, is there any reason to wait at this point to resolve those? I mean, I take your point. I mean, technically speaking, if those plaintiffs want to proceed now, they could certainly make a motion and go through the process that we identified in the procedural order 2104. But there's no reason the court, or is there any reason that the court cannot or should not, I mean, not forget the cannot, should not proceed in asking those plaintiffs if they, if they want to proceed, or otherwise drop those claims at this point? I don't know that there's anything. I mean, I understand your point, Ms. Speck, that, you know, that would require additional motions or additional briefing to the court, but I mean, that's going to be, arguably, that's the case potentially regardless of what happens with the appeal of HMTX, is it not? I mean, Mr. Nicely, do you anything you want to say to that issue, or?
Yeah. I think Pratik wanted to say something. Go ahead, Pratik.
Sure. Good morning, Your Honors. Chief Judge Barnett, I think that would be fine. You know, obviously, up to the court to ask those parties if they want to proceed. Just, and we don't have a dog in the fight. So, but just to the extent it's beneficial, I could see some of those parties wanting to wait and see, because depending on how the appeal turns out, those claims could be moot or not. And so they may want to wait and see how the appeal turns out and then proceed with those claims. And maybe that's more efficient for the court, or maybe not, but that's just something for the court, I guess, to keep in mind in terms of the benefits of going now or waiting. I just wanted to toss that out there as an additional thought.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, anything else that anyone wants to raise at this point for the good of the order? No, I don't see anybody chiming in. Let me just ask a quick housekeeping matter. I know, you know, we had received some phone calls in advance of this status conference asking about whether we'd be streaming it or not. And as you know, we are not, but we're here in open courtroom. Anyone was welcome to come sit in. Our inclination would be to go ahead and post a recording of the conference for those who did not journey to New York for these 15 minutes of conversation. Anyone have any objection to that? Any reason that we shouldn't?
Not at all, Your okay. Honor. In fact, I effectively promised everyone that would happen yesterday. I hope you will.
Careful about making those promises you can't keep, Mr. Nicely. All right. So seeing no objection to that, we will go ahead and do that. I think I will consult with my colleagues and we'll figure out how we want to proceed. If we want to do anything in the short term with regard to that handful of cases, but otherwise, I think in terms of the vast majority of cases, I think we all know where we're going, and that is waiting for things from Lafayette Square to resolve themselves. So, all right, thank you for joining us this morning, and that concludes the conference.
Thanks, Your Honor.